Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Got a great story here. It touches on a bunch of hot topics on this channel, including qualified immunity. Nick Sabilla wrote it for Forbes. Court rejects qualified immunity for cop who arrested gun owner carrying a valid permit. This story at one point in time had a guy who had a valid permit for his gun face down on the side of the road wearing handcuffs. So, in a welcome win for police accountability and gun rights, a federal court rejected a Connecticut police officer's demand for qualified immunity after he arrested a driver with a valid gun permit for his legally owned firearm. The judge said that if she were to throw the lawsuit out on qualified immunity, it would eviscerate Fourth Amendment protections for lawfully armed individuals. So she said, no, the lawsuit will proceed. Back in November of 2018, a man whose last name I'm not sure I could ever pronounce, but his first name is Basil, was driving through Waterbury, Connecticut when his iPhone GPS froze. So to better troubleshoot the problem, he stopped his car but kept the engine running. Seems reasonable. Well, it turns out that he had stopped in a dark and high crime area well known for things like prostitution and other criminal activity. So as Basil was fiddling with his phone, Waterbury police officer Andrzejewski approached the car, knocked on the window, and demanded to see his license. Basil complied. He also handed the officer his gun permit and informed Andrzejewski that he did, in fact, have it in the driver's side door. And in many states, they tell you that you are either required to or you ought to notify the police officer immediately upon contact that you do, in fact, have it on you and you have a permit for same. And that seems to be the right thing to do, and it appears he did the right thing. But somehow, this escalated quickly. Andrzejewski grabbed and shoved Basil out of his own car, slammed him on the ground, threw him in handcuffs in the back of a squad car. The officer put his hands in the man's pockets and said he found drugs, but they were actually prescription. They were nitroglycerin pills for the man's heart. Andrzejewski also removed and promptly seized $320 in cash and a flash drive containing photos and videos of Basil's deceased father that the man was carrying on him. So he grabs all his stuff, says, look, I found drugs, I found money, I found a flash card. Photos of his passed away father, $300 in cash, and medicine for his own heart. See, it just depends on how you spin this. That's why it's good to have an attorney reading the story to you. I know you understand this, but the point is, that you can see the prosecution, how they spin this. The man had a gun, drugs, money, a flash card. He's in a high crime area. It's dark out. He's in his car fiddling with some electronic device. He stopped to fix his phone. He had cash on him, something containing photographs of his dead father, and pills for his own heart. While he was in the squad car, Andrzejewski then scoured the man's vehicle, including the trunk. Basil ultimately responded to filing a federal civil rights lawsuit against Andrzejewski for violating his Fourth Amendment rights. At oral argument, the attorneys for Andrzejewski claimed that his conduct was justified because he had probable cause to believe that the man was possessing a firearm without a permit, as he had not yet been able to verify the validity of the permit. Following this logic, when the police contact you and you say, I am a lawful carrying individual, here's my permit, and it's in the glove box or it's in the center console or wherever it is, they can grab you and assume that the permit is no good. That's their logic. So in other words, because the man disclosed he had a weapon in the vehicle, that gave them probable cause to search and seize the man. In Connecticut, carrying a pistol in a car without a permit is in fact a felony. With the permit, no. Andrzejewski further argued that he had the authority to search the man's car because there was objectively reasonable basis to suspect that he was dangerous because of the known presence of his gun. And again, he has a permit. Finally, as their backup argument, the officer claimed that he's entitled to qualified immunity, which shields government employees from any legal liability for violating someone's constitutional rights, so long as those rights were not clearly established. And we talked about this before, that you got to get the courts to rule and say something's clearly established based on prior precedent, which requires prior precedent. And so you can go that all the way back, and it's, you know, it trolls all the way down. You can't ever get that first precedent. But the question is, the man says, I am licensed, here's my license. And they say, oh, that creates probable cause for us to search you. That's absurd. According to the U.S. Supreme Court, which invented qualified immunity nearly 40 years ago, Determining whether a right is clearly established hinges on whether it would be a clear thing to a reasonable officer that his conduct was unlawful in the situation that he's confronted with. Judge Atherton, the judge in this case, made quick work of that argument, denying qualified immunity and saying that this lawsuit against Andrzejewski can proceed. Here's the quote. There is no indication that Basil was even arguably unlawfully possessing a firearm. It was an uncontested fact that he presented his pistol permit to Andrzejewski before or at the time he disclosed that he's in possession of a pistol. So he said, here's my permit. And by the way, I've got a pistol. As a result, the judge concluded that no reasonable officer could believe probable cause was present. And since arresting Basil was done without probable cause, the search of his vehicle cannot be justified as a lawful search incident to an arrest. Moreover, in the Second Circuit, which covers Connecticut, New York, and Vermont as well, an officer needs more than mere presence of a weapon for which the possessor is licensed to justify searching a car during the course of a traffic stop. Otherwise, the second you go, I've got a permit, they can search your car. The judge pointed out that Basil was friendly and compliant and freely told the officer about his gun and his permit. He volunteered the information, and for that, he got torn out of the car, thrown on the ground, handcuffed, stuffed in the back of his car, searched, his car got searched, and he got hauled off to jail. On this record, no reasonable officer could conclude that plaintiff posed a meaningful threat of being armed and dangerous simply because he disclosed that he had a pistol and a license to possess it. Any contrary holding would make it practically impossible for the lawful owner of a firearm to maintain a Fourth Amendment right to privacy in his or her automobile. John Williams, who represents Basil, called the opinion thorough and obviously sound, while Andrzejewski's attorney declined to comment, citing pending litigation. So as Nick Sibilla writes, points out in this article, the officer has filed an appeal, which will go up to the Second Circuit. And from the Second Circuit, if he loses there, it would go up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But this is simply the trial court, district court level. And the first hurdle has been won by the man who was arrested at the roadside and searched and handcuffed and so on, even though he was lawfully in possession of the firearm and the pistol permit. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. So the problem always is that you have to show that there's been prior case law, in essence, to put the officers on notice what they're doing is wrong. That's just as simple as I can make it. So what happens up on appeal is they're going to say, look, the facts of this case are very, very specific. It's at night in a high crime area, man sitting in a darkened car, fiddling with an electronic device the police officer cannot see. Officer knocks on the window, and then the man says, I'm armed and I have a permit, but he hands over something which cannot be immediately verified as a valid permit. How do we know what it is? Could be a Blockbuster video rental card. Don't know. So has there ever been a case with those exact facts in our circuit? Exact facts in the 10th Circuit wouldn't help you. Exact facts in the 9th Circuit wouldn't help you. The fiction that they came up with has got to be the exact same case in your circuit as if the police follow the news from their circuit but not the other circuits. And of course, if they lose at that level, they'll take it to the U.S. Supreme Court. One of these days, and it might not be during my lifetime, I know this, but one of these days, the Supreme Court's going to actually look at qualified immunity and say, you know something? Even though this court invented it, we're going to get rid of it. It's wrong. But this is the kind of stuff that happens. And one of the things we've talked about before is that police know qualified immunity exists. They know it. So they know that they can cross the line when they're doing stuff. And they know they're not going to get in trouble for it. Or if they do get in trouble for it, they've got, you know, lawyers provided for them by the police department, and they go, yeah, whatever. And so whether this will actually result in something good happening for the guy who got, you know, handcuffed face down at the side of the road, don't know. Don't know. We'll have to see what happens. Like Nick said, it's up on appeal right now. So when the appeal happens, I will update you. If it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court, I'll update you, assuming that at that moment in time, YouTube still exists. Don't know how long cases can take to get to the U.S. Supreme Court, but it can take some time. So as of right now, this is a good ruling, but it's only at the trial court level. Chris and Lauren both sent it to me. from Nick Sabilla and Forbes magazine. And Nick, by the way, does great writing on this. It's one of his topics. He follows all the time. Court rejects qualified immunity for cop who arrested gun owner carrying a valid permit. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Are you a spectator or a player? Players influence the game while spectators watch them do it. Such is life.